Welcome to Two Bees in a Podcast, brought to you by the Honeybee Research and Extension Laboratory at the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences. It is our goal to advance the understanding of honeybees and beekeeping, grow the beekeeping community, and improve the health of honeybees everywhere. In this podcast, you'll hear research updates, beekeeping management practices discussed, and advice on beekeeping from our resident experts, beekeepers, scientists, and other program guests. Join us for today's program, and thank you for listening to Two Bees in a Podcast.
All right, everyone, we are at the end of April and we're getting into May. And so today, Jamie and I wanted to do a monthly management segment just to discuss what we're doing in May, because really in May, in Florida and across the country, across the world, maybe, we may be in prime honeybee production time. And so, Jamie, let's talk a little bit about May and what we need to take into consideration as we're going into this month.
Yeah, so May is such an important month for bees and beekeepers. I know at least in many places around the Northern Hemisphere, it's where your pollen and nectar flows tend to peak. Yes, you can get pollen and nectar flows in April. Yes, you have them continuing into June. But if it's a roughly a bell-shaped curve, we are at the top of that bell in the month of May. In fact, there's so many resources available, generally speaking, this time of year that colonies are as strong as they absolutely will be all year. So as beekeepers, it is very important to us, especially for managing production colonies, to have those colonies ready in February, March, and April to take advantage of what Mother Nature gives us in May. And if you're a new beekeeper, you've kind of got a different set of things that you're going to have to address. So I really look forward to talking about what we should do as beekeepers this very important month in the beekeeping season.
Okay, so what would you say is the most important thing that we need to consider or that we need to look at as far as what beekeepers need to have in check in May or by this time, I guess?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I'll make a couple of comments here. By the time you reach May, you want all of your diseases and pests very under control. In fact, so much under control that you don't want to have to worry about them at this point. A lot of the things that you might have to do to control a specific disease or pest may include, for example, a chemotherapeutic intervention. In other words, you need to use some sort of chemical to control whatever the issue is, an antibiotic or a pesticide, whatever. And a lot of those things can't be on during honey production season. And since May corresponds to honey production season for a lot of folks, you just have to have already got that under control. So I like colonies to completely, you know, be absolutely healthy from a disease and pest perspective by the time you roll into May. But if I had to broaden and say, assuming that that is the case, and assuming you're going into May and your colonies are strong and the production season's around the corner, what's the most important thing that you have to do during production season to ensure that your colonies remain strong and productive? It would deal exclusively with queen management, all of the things related to that.
Yeah, I feel like even here at the lab, you know, that's what our beekeepers and our technicians are all working on, or just trying to keep, you know, queens strong, or we've just got an order of queens in actually. And so, you know, what are we actually doing with the queens? And so can you elaborate a little bit more on queen issues?
Yeah. And for the purposes of all the folks who are listening to us right now, I'm going to be talking for the next few minutes from the perspective that we are trying to keep production colonies ready and strong and doing their thing. Of course, this is also a time of year that folks might purchase and acquire bees and have brand new colonies. And maybe you're going to take advantage of May for other reasons. But for the purpose of this discussion, at least at this moment, I'm talking about production colonies. And so, Amy, to address specifically your question, you know, if you want colonies super strong in May because there's so much nectar coming in and maybe you're trying to produce honey, or because you want to split colonies and make package bees or nucs or queens, or because you have pollination contracts, if you won't be strong now, you must manage your queens. And so that simply starts with having a queen in every colony. You have to have queens in your production colonies. The moment a colony tries to requeen itself during production season, their attention has shifted from production to requeening, and that can cost you significantly. I know I've said this before on this podcast, but when your colony loses a queen, I'm going to round everything, you know, to the nearest week to make this easy to discuss. But when your colony loses a queen, It can take roughly 2 weeks to make a new one from egg to adult, roughly 2 weeks for her to mate and lay her first egg, and roughly 3 weeks for that egg to go through the larval, the pupal, and up to the adult stage. And so if you've been keeping track with me, I'm holding up 7 fingers now in response to those weeks. So if your colony goes queenless in May, you could lose 7 weeks of bee and brood production at a time of the year when your colonies most need their queen. So it starts with having a queen in your hive. And she can't just be there. She can't just be present. She has to be good. And this is something you should have addressed leading up to now, but it's not too late to address if you have queens on hand. Amy, you were asking specifically, Jamie, we just got some queens at the lab. What might we be doing with them now? Mm-hmm. A lot of it's to create new colonies, but some of it's to fix queen problems. We're in production season now, and we want our colonies to be led by productive queens that have good brood pattern, producing a lot of offspring, whose offspring are productive, et cetera. And if we see heading into May that that's not the case, we absolutely will requeen our colonies to ensure that we have a good queen. So not just a queen, but a good queen. So that's a really good way to think about queen management, or at least one aspect of queen management in May.
Yeah, I was about to bring up the other piece of queen management, which is controlling swarms, right? I mean, swarms have been happening, and I feel like they've been happening even earlier this year, but I don't know, maybe we say that every year, like we just don't expect it and they start to swarm.
So thank you so very much for bringing that up, because as you know, you've been around me for a long time. Swarm management is one of those things I consider under the umbrella of queen management. Swarm mm-hmm. management is partly queen management. And so when you brought it up, you're absolutely spot on, 110% correct. Why is swarm management queen management? Well, it's real simple. When a colony swarms, it has to requeen itself. So not only did you lose 50% of your bees, whatever average swarm percentage of bees that you lose, right? You also lost the laying queen. And if you get a secondary swarm or a tertiary swarm, those after swarms, you've also lost the next virgin queen available to go out and mate and take over that hive. So you want to practice swarm control if you are into honey production, because you need your colonies to be as strong as possible. You can't afford to lose the bees, but you also can't afford to lose the queen. So swarm control, if you go back to our February, March, and April monthly management, swarm control continues through the month of May because you're wanting to keep all your bees in that good, healthy laying queen. Now, that's if you're a honey producer. Right. But you might say, well, Jamie, that's all well and good, but I'm actually into producing packages of bees, or I'm into producing nukes or colonies for sale, or for myself to expand my operation. In that case, you can take advantage during May of two things: Mother Nature's bountiful supply of nectar and pollen to feed your bees. And secondly, your colony's innate desire to split itself. So your colonies are strong in May. You can take advantage of that by making splits and using the incoming pollen and nectar to provide the food to grow those splits. So if you're into honey production, you're going to want to control swarming as part of your queen management regimen. But if you're into bee production, you may take advantage of that swarm impulse to make more bees or more colonies.
Right. So, during this time of year, I guess because they're bringing in resources, is it necessary for beekeepers to feed or add supplements of any sort for the bees?
It's not so common this time of year to have to feed, but I'll obviously preface that with a lot of caveats, right? If you're keeping production colonies and May is your peak honey flow month, then Mother Nature is really feeding your bees for you, right? There's mm-hmm. a lot of incoming nectar source, and that's what you want. You want the bees to be able to collect that nectar and convert it to honey. That's exactly what you're going for as a production beekeeper. But there are times where you're making splits, or maybe you've purchased new colonies and this is brand new to you, or you've got small nucleus colonies that you just moved up into full size production size hive bodies. In this particular case, you could feed if there's no incoming nectar, but the benefit of acquiring colonies or making splits this time of year is that there's usually incoming nectar that will feed and grow your colonies for you. So generally speaking, you don't have to feed in the month of May because there's bountiful supplies and resources available in the environment. But if you're a new beekeeper with new colonies, or if you're, for that matter, someone who split colonies, you've got these young growing colonies, you can take advantage of the incoming pollen and nectar to grow those colonies so that you don't have to feed. But you do need to know, if you are making splits or purchasing new colonies or hiving packages of bees this time of year, that's really what the nectar source is going to do for you. It's going to grow and establish that colony. Your colony is unlikely to make surplus honey unless that May nectar flow extends into June or July. Usually you're just taking advantage of that available nectar to grow the colonies without you having to feed them, but you don't really count on producing surplus honey that first year if you're starting with packages or nukes, or if you've made splits this time of year.
All right. So we were talking about the resources coming in. We're talking about nectar coming in. One of the questions that I receive pretty often during this time is, when do I add a super? When do I add a super to my hive? And how do I know when to add a super? I mean, what's the answer to that? What do I do?
Supering is part science and it's kind of part art. And it's just one of those things that you just have to experience and learn about over time. Let me just kind of back down to when I did it when I was a kid. So where I'm from in Georgia, my nectar flow would start trickling in reasonably enough to where I saw increased bee activity somewhere around mid-April. And I would know just by years of experience at the time that, you know, my major nectar flow is going to be throughout the month of May. So I could just super upon anticipation, right? I know it's coming. It's historically come these weeks. I want to make sure and have an empty super on, you know, by the second week of April to catch what may trickle in throughout April. And I might want to add a second or third super at the beginning of May, just because I know historically that's going to be when the nectar flow really picks up and the bees are needing the extra space. But if you're wanting to do it from a more practical standpoint, in other words, you want to see that they are using the space before you add new space, the general recommendation is let's go back to my example. So I will super based on a calendar by April 15th, I'll have a super on. But from that point forward, it becomes more observational science. And this is what I'm looking for. When do I add my second super? Well, I add it when I see increased flight activity at the nest entrance and that all evidence suggests that they're going after nectar rather than pollen. And how do I know that? Well, I look at the bees going into the hive, and are the majority of them carrying pollen loads on their hind legs or not? And if they're not, then I just kind of assume that their activity is because of increased nectar availability. Number two, when I'm working those colonies and I'll pull a frame and turn it on its side, does nectar rain down on my boots or on my pants? If I lightly shake the frame, does nectar rain down out of the frame onto the box? If it does, then that suggests to me that there is an ongoing nectar flow. Remember, nectar has a lot of water in it, so it's warm in a colony. When you turn a frame, it's likely to fall out of the frame with a little bit of agitation. And if I'm getting, you know, nectar dropping onto me while I'm working, that's a good indication that there's a lot of nectar coming in. Third, that first box that I put on by middle April, you know, as I'm working that hive, am I seeing bees deposit nectar into those combs? You know, is it 50% full? Is it 75% full? When I look down on those frames from above, are bees blanketing the tops of 7, 8, 9, 10 of those frames? If I see increased bee activity, if nectar is raining down on me from the combs when I'm working those hives, or if I see a lot of bees in the uppermost super and the super has more than 50 to 75% occupied with nectar, then I would add a second super. The next time I work the colony, I'd use the same judgment to add a third super. And so May is the time of year that you're no doubt supering, and increasingly so, to take advantage of all that incoming nectar.
You know, I've got a funny side note, and I think our listeners will really enjoy this, but our podcast coordinator realized that you have the 1, 2s, and 3s. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but you always tell us different management, or you answer questions and you say, well, first and second and third, and then you go there and you just did that.
Well, good. I'm glad I stuck the script. First, my first reply to that is thank you for pointing that out. Secondly, I'd like to tell you that. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. So again, we're going into May. There are a couple things that we just went over. First is that we are already assuming that you have your pests and diseases under control. The second thing is making sure that you're fixing queen issues or you're noticing any queen related problems, and then controlling your swarms. And then of course, lastly is supering as necessary. And so Jamie, did I get that right? Is that what you would recommend for beekeepers?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Amy. And one of the things that I'll say on top of that, and you'll hear a lot of beekeepers say this too, when there's lots of incoming nectar, it's hard for things to go wrong in colony. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could have them swarm, et cetera, but that's not usually when diseases and pests are taking out your hives or when starvation's taking out your hives. And it's right. easy to sit back in May and just enjoy the ride. If you got your diseases and pests in check, you've got adequate swarm control measures, your colonies are led by good queens, just sit back and enjoy what May does for your bees.
You know what, Jamie, we are on our 100th episode. Can you believe that?
That's really mind-boggling. I cannot believe it's 100. It seems crazy.
How long have we been doing this? 2.5 years now?
Yeah, that seems like, though, it's kind of blown by, but I'm like, gosh, 100 episodes. That's huge.
I know.
Like huge.
I know. So it's really funny because I think it was one of the lab members, I had asked them to listen to an episode and was like, can you just listen to this for any mistakes or, you know, just things that are a little off that we have to fix, because we have an awesome podcast coordinator who helps edit everything, right? And so he listened to it and he's like, I've never heard you guys make mistakes. And I'm like, that's because we just leave the mistakes as jokes, like on the episode, right? And so our podcast coordinator thought it would be quite funny to put together a blooper reel. And she basically took all of our mistakes and pulled them together. I can't say all because that would probably take hours of content. But she decided to put a bloopers episode together. And so people can hear that, you know, we do make mistakes every once in a while.
Well, we really appreciate you guys listening to us. I mean, I know that this is a blooper episode and hopefully you'll enjoy it for what it's meant to be, which is just simply a good time. But Amy and I have had such a great time over the last couple of years doing this for you guys. It's funny, Amy, we've talked all the time. When I first came to UF, I did a lot of videos and everybody for the next 10 years recognized me from the videos. Oh, Jamie, you know, I've seen your videos. I blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They always say, Jamie, you're a lot older now and your hair's not as long and you're getting big. And I'm like, all those, that's how they usually start those conversations. But now when I go places, they don't recognize me, but they'll hear me talk. Oh, you must be Jamie. I recognize your voice. And I know you've said the exact yep. same thing. I'll tell a quick story. I think it's funny. A lot of people kind of praise us for our chemistry, that we seem to get along on the air. We actually hate each other behind the scenes.
Yeah, right. We just don't get along at all. I hate my job.
This is our game face. Anyway, but it was funny. A person came up to me pretty recently. He's like, yeah, Jamie, you guys, your podcast is really good. You know, you're pretty good. But that Amy, she's great. Now you guys have some good chemistry, but it's Amy who's doing all. But Jamie, yeah, you know, right. you add the academic side, but Amy's amazing. And I'm sitting here going, okay, I get it. You don't need me. I get it. So
that's not true. No, we're super excited. Two Bees in a Podcast has been fantastic. We have listeners who, again, like you said, like I was at a farmer's market and I was talking to someone, and someone who was selling honey turned around and he goes, are you Amy? And I said, who's asking? And he's like, I recognize your voice. And I was just at a random farmer's market. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I tell you, I used to listen to the radio a lot more than I do now. And when you would hear these DJs talking, you create these images in your mind of what they right. must look like. You know, the guys are big and strong and strapping and good looking guys, and the girls are all great and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, and then when you see them like in real life or on like the internet, like, oh my goodness, these people, I wonder if that's what people are like. They hear our voices, they create these images, and then they see me and go, oh geez, Jamie, you're never what I thought you were. Anyway, I'm sure they don't do that with you, Amy, but for me, they're like, oh geez. But it's funny because we started this podcast, Amy, because you know, we don't get paid extra for this podcast. We don't get extra kudos for this podcast. We created it because we wanted to have yet again, another way of getting information to beekeepers. And that was our only motivation. We know a lot of you spend some time in cars or exercising and want to, you know, have something to listen to. And that's what this is about. It's about us.
Or listening to us while you're keeping bees.
Exactly. While you're keeping bees or even in the bathroom. I've heard people tell me, Jamie, I hear your voice coming out of our bathroom all the time.
And I forgot about that one.
It's cute. But my point is we just do this for the beekeepers. And the moment you guys stop liking this is the moment we'll stop producing it. If you like this and need this, just let us know in our social media account. Send us more questions. Tell us some ideas about how we can make this better, and we'll do our best to make that happen, because this podcast is about you, the beekeeper, and it's about the health and protection of and productivity of bee colonies, not just beekeepers and bee colonies here in the U.S., but all around the world. So thank you so much for making this so fun for us and so good for bees and beekeepers.
Yep, and enjoy this blooper episode.
I need to leave. Should I just go ahead and leave so I don't make noise?
Oh, we're going to be sad. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, now is that time.
Good luck on the tour.
Thanks.
Oh, you're giving a tour at the moment?
Or we have a hive demo coming.
Oh, it's like people are going to come by and see us doing this.
I will make sure they don't.
They do. They are expecting a tour. Also, they have absolutely no knowledge.
Wait, they want a tour too?
They know nothing.
They know nothing.
They have not learned anything about hummingbirds.
Oh, that's a really pretty bird that landed out there on that citrus tree. You see it? Blackhead, yeah. Yellow
kind of
body?
It's
the kind, survey says it's the kind that flies.
The kind that flies.
Was that you?
No, of course not. It was that bird.
It was that bird.
That is really weird.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'm gonna leave. I might come out there and take a picture for social media. Are you okay with me posting about, like, we're starting the podcast today and, like, something like that?
Yes. Oh, there's a bluebird, or more appropriately, a blue jay. Oh, I'm going to ruin this podcast. Oh, I can't believe it. We might blacken out the windows.
Oh, there was a monarch on our plant yesterday.
Okay, so I'm going to just do a dry run. We don't have to record this. Hello, and welcome to today's...
You know what? We're just going to have three questions every single time. How about that? You couldn't have said it better, so I almost feel like we should just stop it there.
Here's a second trick.
What do you think?
Oh gosh, 2012, 2015, been a lot of commercial beekeepers. I'll pause for a second.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. Bugs are cool.
Bugs are pretty cool. Maybe chickens.
Maybe chickens.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, hold on. Okay, I feel like Hermione Granger in Harry Potter, you know, like Leviosa.
What do you say, Hermione?
Hermione, yeah. Hermione? What did you say?
Oh, that's also a tomato tomato type situation.
Okay, all right. Our podcast editor is going to love us after this one.
I'm just preemptive kidding. Apologies. Yeah. Sorry. Did I answer? I think I answered your question.
Was there another part to it? Nope, that was my question. Okay, so, all right, let's see.
So just say, Jamie, any diseases and pests? Do we need to worry about that this coming year?
All right.
Or the, and so I'm going to pause here for a second. Last thing that you might say is, well, Jamie, you know, is there any other thing that you might think, as I just thought about, it's also a good time of year to, scout out potential apiary sites for honey.
Okay. All right. Okay, Jamie. So is there anything,
hold on just a second. Sorry. I'll just redo that. This is always happens right after I eat. Number one. Sorry.
Right. And
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, hold on.
So many ways to skin that cat. Did you know, Amy, I probably said this on the podcast, I'm sorry, but that's actually about catfish and not cat the mammals. Nobody skins cat the mammal. You skin catfish. And so it took me forever to realize that saying's about catfish and not cats, the mammal.
I assumed you were talking about cats, the mammal. And I'm like, I don't do that, but I have heard it. Okay,
well, it's more than one way to skin a cat, .. fish. All right.
That's fair. Okay. So I'm going to have Sarah maybe take this part out. I thought the question was asking about eggs, honeybee eggs.
No, the way I read it, it's wax it's moth.
Okay. Wax moth eggs. Well, now I feel dumb. Okay. Well,
Sarah, well, I'm not sure how to comment on that, but you're not dumb, Amy. You're not.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Let's get to the second question. Sarah, you can delete that part. Wow. Rubber bands. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. That's the next question. So we'll.
Yeah. Do you want to switch to that one?
Yeah, I can get that. So did you have anything else that you wanted to add to the beekeeper thing informally? It's okay. I think what you've said is great. Cause that's the thing that I would have said too. Okay. So I'll pause and then ask the question. Amy, did you think that was a clean enough cut though at the end of that? Cause I felt like when I jumped in, it was kind of ragged.
I think we should be able, yeah, we should be okay.
You're okay. So I'll pause and ask a question.
So I have a question. All right. Last question.
This brings up a bigger problem with what to do about, sorry, I'm getting a call at the moment. So give me just, I'm going to have to let the phone call end. Okay. Sorry. Can you hear it in the background?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are the advantages and disadvantages of incurring? Oh my gosh, I can't read. Okay. And send us an email or give us a call, except you might get voicemail because we might be recording this podcast. Profitability analyst. And oh my gosh, why am I doing that? Yeah. So, and I know.
So I was going to say, so I'm going to pause and then let you ask me about that because then I can talk about making nukes or splits.
All right.
So a lot of commercial beekeepers and other beekeepers for that matter, take advantage of this strong colony season because there's, hold on just a second. Sorry, I've got to keep clearing my throat. Sorry, my phone's ringing. So let me pause for a second.
So that said, okay, wait, let me stop. I need to start over.
And maybe Amy, you'll need to end somehow. I'm sorry.
I was just going to end it there.
No, I just think what you're saying was so good. And I always want to give that piece of advice because I've got a gallberry, a palmetto and a red maple, all that stuff in my yard. And it tells me when stuff's close to happening.
That's fair. I'm just going to stop there.
Or yes. Okay, now you go, but you stay.
need 50,000.
We don't need 50,001. You stay behind. Because it contains two parts, is they do not determine the size of their swarm. Let me restate that quickly.
When the workers lay in a colony, so sorry, let me ask this again. Okay, so for our next question.
I'm sorry.
Great.
Yeah. All right. So I'm ready now. So
when you push my gain.
I shouldn't sing then. That was Cameron. Cameron was terrible. Terrible. Oh, I'm gone.
What do you hear now? Do you hear anything?
Bloopers.
I feel like I'm really far away now.
James is like, it sounds like a blooper reel. And I was like, nope, that was them just talking.
Who's on? Is that?
Yeah, that's super duper loud for me.
Jamie's
yeah, don't do that. Thank you. I'm back to NPR. You are. NPR. I'd like to say it's a fantastic day here. Peaches.
While you're thinking about it, let's listen to this jazz recording. Over this jazz recording.
While thinking about peaches.
Wait, what number are you?
How do they grow peaches?
I'm number three.
You're number three?
Keep talking. What does it mean to be inside a peach?
I believe. I am number three.
I'm in peach.
You're literally James and Jamie.
Yes.
Can we put the antenna on the headset so everybody looks like honey?
Yes, please.
That would be awesome.
Florida State Beekeepers Association, Vice President of Bees Beyond Borders, chair for the American Beekeeping Federation Research Committee, second generation Florida beekeeper, former assistant chief of plant and apiary inspector for the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
Wow. Thank you for having me, Jamie.
It's a long title.
Just call me Dave.
Check your rings. All right. Cell phones off. So,
still pretty.
I've never heard my voice this clearly before.
I know, it's kind of scary.
Sometimes when I hear my voice, I feel sad that other people have to hear me talk all the time because like it annoys me so much.
This is cool. We're doing the podcast.
Yeah, but every time I hear my voice, I think Forrest. Mama told me the podcasts were evil. So I said, Mama, how else am I supposed to communicate?
I may not be a smart man, but I know what a podcast is.
Life is like a box of beehives.
That's going to be our intro.
Oh, here we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this. Sorry, it's not welcome back. And I don't know what else to say after this. Okay, hold on.
So I'm testing the mic.
I'm going to pause because I just completely lost my brain. Give me 3 seconds.
It's okay. That's the beauty of it now.
Right there.
Thank you for listening to Two Bees in a Podcast. For more information and resources on today's episode, check out the Honeybee Research Lab website at ufhoneybee.com. If you have questions you want answered on air, email them to us at honeybee@ifas.ufl.edu or message us on social media at UF Honeybee Lab on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. This episode was hosted by Jamie Ellis and Amy Vu. This podcast is produced and edited by Amy Vu and Sarah Sowers. Thanks for listening and see you next week.